The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Second down and goal from the five. Willis keeps on the zone read, bouncing towards the goal line. Touchdown!
I just cannot articulate the job that he's done in the short period of time. People can't fathom it. I promise you. You guys don't get it. I know you think you got it, but you don't get it. What he's been able to do is, I've never seen something like that.
A rough start the first couple of weeks for Levis as he goes to the air. It's intercepted! Jair Alexander, high stepping for six!
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Willis with pressure coming. Swings it to Wilson. He's got blockers in front. Wilson inside the 20. A convoy in front. Wilson all the way in for his first NFL touchdown.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Second and 10 at the 31. Levis, pressure, and he's blasted. Ball is out. Still loose on the turf. Packers have it. Five-man pressure. Levis goes down again. Lucky number seven.
Really happy for our guys and proud of their effort. Whatever, keep going, keep firing away. They told me this city was going to burn if we came in here and won the game, so I guess it is.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Studios with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as we celebrate the Packers' big win over the Titans yesterday. And it was a big win. We are not going to undersell it. We are not going to say that, oh, we expected them to win against the Titans. Because, again, a lot of people did not. A lot of people weren't sure. There was talk of like, oh, the Titans have one of the best run defenses in the league. In fact, a Titans player came out and said, you don't run against our team. Packers didn't get the memo. They still ran the ball. Had some success. But it was more of the complimentary. It was more of the balance. It was more of the, we don't know if Malik Willis can push the ball downfield. And while he didn't go traditionally downfield, guys, there were seven explosive plays from this Green Bay Packers offense. They showed that they could stretch the field. They showed that they could make those chunk plays, those chunk yardage plays when they needed to. And to the defense's credit, and they came to play as well, taking the ball away, making Will Levis nervous in the pocket. A lot of success, a lot of flowers, a lot of accolades to go around after another big victory. And most importantly, guys, because I believe that Jordan Love will be back out on the field this weekend against the Vikings. I believe that was always the timetable that his side was operating from. They survived and thrived with their starting quarterback, their franchise quarterback, on the sideline when many people thought that 0-2 or 0-and-whatever, Gabe, was a distinct possibility.
Yeah, I mean, going into it, based on all of the scouting reports that were out there, I know Taylor Lewan was on Twitter yesterday apologizing for him saying that Malik doesn't know ball after different videos using his take. I can't remember what show he was on, but former teammate of Malik Willis's saying, no, this guy, I mean, he's stepped up. Good on him. He's been able to play this well for the last 2 weeks because we didn't know what he was going to be. And the evidence that we had had of his previous appearances in the NFL were not good. They were not good at all. And some people, again, there's an article up right now at The Athletic where the general manager is saying he still does not believe that Malik Willis is a good quarterback, yet the Packers have been able to win the last couple of weeks. And they kept their head above water, which is all you're... I mean, again, I think everybody would have been happy with 1-1 with Malik Willis. Find a way to win one of those games. You're 1-2 going into the Vikings. You can win that game, get to 2-2, and let's start rolling this thing. To be sitting there with a winning record going into the Vikings is fantastic.
Just out of curiosity, and this is you speculating because you don't know implicitly what these scouts and general managers think, what would Malik Willis have to do to change the opinion of people besides Taylor Lewan, who, again, heading into it, you would argue, had a pretty good vantage point, folks. Had a pretty good vantage point of who Malik Willis was, what he could do, said so, and then had to, you know, take it back yesterday. What would Malik Willis need to do in order for people to actually change their opinion about his football acumen, his ability to play the game?
Throw the ball 25 to 30 times in a game. Because that's what quarterbacks are typically asked to do. Again, good on Matt LaFleur, good on the Packers coaching staff, not asking him, especially for a number of different reasons. Him being limited in the Packers offense, for being here for less than a month. Him, you know, still trying to develop as a quarterback. Okay, we're not going to ask you to do anything you can't do. We're not going to, you know, ask you to drop back and just process all this information. We're going to try to keep it as simple for you as we possibly can. We're going to run the football, and we're going to do all these things. But in order for that general manager, my guess is, all right, throw the ball 25 to 30 times per game and look competent doing
it. Now, but here's the thing. Is that just a product of where we are in the NFL? Because every time we have a conversation about run-pass balance, everybody's always talking about, it's a passing league. It's a passing league. Well, yes, it is. But if you look at the splits for a lot of teams, it's closer to like 55-45, which again, you could argue is pretty balanced, right? It's not 50-50. Some teams it is 50-50. Some teams rely on the run more than the pass, depending on who they have under center. Is that take of what Malik Willis would need to do in order to be considered a good quarterback, good at football, because of where the league is now?
Well, yeah, but the Packers are also like 75-25 run with Malik Willis right now. You know, like that's it's just taking that ratio and flipping it on its head. Like, yeah, and the fact of the matter is, you have to be that quarter. If you want to win a Super Bowl, you need a quarterback operating at a high level who can throw the ball 25 to 30 times per game. Right now, Malik Willis is a game manager. There's nothing wrong with that. Having that as your backup quarterback, that's what you want. Because again, he didn't turn the ball over. That was huge.
In either week.
That was huge for the Packers in these two games. Absolutely huge. Malik Willis has now carved out, I think, at the very minimum, a very nice career for himself as a backup quarterback. He's going to stick around the league for a while because of these two games.
Probably with the Packers.
Because he's shown that, okay, this is what you can do with him. Here are the things that you can do to try to win games with him as your backup quarterback. It's on him to continue to grow and develop, and maybe he becomes a starter someday the way that the Titans thought he could be when they initially drafted him. But, I mean, he was potentially on his way out of the league when the Packers traded for him a month ago. Because that's how unfavorably he was looked upon. And good on him for the work he put in. Good on LaFleur and Tom Clements for getting him in a position where if Jordan, you know, has another minor injury in 2 months and has to miss a game, you're not going to feel, opponent dependent, but you're going to feel like you got a chance. Maybe we don't win this game, but we're going to, you know, Malik's going to take care of the football and we should have a chance.
Lots of folks weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line reminding us that Sam Darnold did suffer an injury in the third quarter of yesterday's game. He did finish the game, but it is a knee injury. He's going to have an MRI. Maybe he has already had the MRI. We just aren't aware of the results, but there is some concern would not be the right word. There is some thought that maybe he would not be able to go. Am I reading this correctly that Nick Mullins is the backup quarterback for the Vikings? Is that accurate? Is that updated?
I think that's right.
So, yeah, that would be, yeah, he was still the backup for them this year.
Oof. So, anyway, there is some concern for Vikings fans, anyway, that Sam Darnold, for all the success he has had early this season, you know, helping them to a 3-0 record, might not be the guy out there when the Packers
finish a game, I still feel like you're probably going to play the next week.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's usually the way you should treat it. The one thing with Malik Willis is, as good as he and well as he's played, we haven't seen him have to play from behind, which kind of changes.
Which is a big thing.
Yes, which changes how the defense is going to attack you. Now, the third down conversion, the third and 14, and the couple third downs he make were quite impressive because that is a situation where everybody on the field sort of knows what you're going to be doing, but getting out to a lead like the Packers have been able to has helped Malik Willis. And I mean, I think probably experiencing that is going to help him keep improving because now he has signs of good play. But to say like as positive as I was in the previous hour about I'm not going to be out there like, yeah, this guy's just a starter and teams are going to be calling to get him on their team.
Nobody's.
It's a very specific situation. Yes. It is a very specific hole, right? Square peg, round hole type of thing. It fits. Malik Willis was able to fit with what Matt LaFleur could do with the other talent. If Josh Jacobs isn't on this team, guys, I don't know that they win that game last week, right?
Oh, they don't.
We had talked about Aaron Jones' limitations and his ability. He can't carry the ball. What was it, 52 times something? What was the number of carries that Josh Jacobs had?
Josh had 32 last week.
32 carries.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a concern about, like, if Aaron Jones is out there, again, to say nothing of the success that Aaron Jones has found.
He's just a different type of back.
Yes.
He's not that type of back.
So, again, we're talking about the fit of Malik Willis with this Packers team, with the coach that was there. Somebody who can think outside the box and find a way to win in that situation. Lots of folks weighing in. Very excited. He also ran for 75 yards and a touchdown. The part of his game I was super high on and certain Gabe literally laughed at on this program when I brought it up was his 4.37 40 in college. That from Justin.
I don't remember Gabe laughing at that.
Yeah.
As much as I got after him. We talked about on Friday how, like, if the Packers want to win, he needs to have up towards 75 yards rushing.
Yeah.
And look what he had. 73.
Because we knew... If they wanted to run the ball, yes. It was going to have to look different because, again, to defend Jeffrey Simmons. The running backs didn't have a ton of success running the football. 12 carries, 50 yards for Wilson. Josh Jacobs, his worst game as a Packer, 14 carries, 43 yards. There wasn't a lot of efficiency in the traditional runs, which is then why Malik Willis taking off was such a big thing for the Packers yesterday.
I honestly thought they were a little conservative with how successful he was with his legs. Like, I know they had a lead in their playing from ahead, and like Matt LaFleur has clearly kind of sort of dialed it back when he's had these leads with Malik Willis. But like every time they got in the red zone, I don't know why they're not running just like
zone
quarterback
reads.
Yeah, like I mean the guy's clearly one of the not going to compare him to like Lamar Jackson, but he's like the tier under that. He's like in the Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen. Like this guy makes people miss. He's quick enough and strong enough to get into the end zone.
We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Do the Packers have a defense? Yes, no, still too early. I will tell you guys this. This poll has been in the field for almost an hour. Not a single, not one vote for no. It is definitely split, 53-46 currently. Lots of time still to get your opinion in there. But yes, and still too early. Which means that maybe. Looks, things are looking good, but I don't want to commit to a yes at this point. But you got potential, is basically what they are saying. 800-990-3776. Keep getting us your reaction to the Packers' victory yesterday. If you missed the first hour of the show, Joshy and Gabe... Well, they cage matched a little bit. There was a cage match that happened here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy between Gabe being pump the brakes. We don't know what Jordan Love version we are going to see next week if he is out there against the Vikings. And Joshy saying, this is a damn good team. Give them their flowers. Don't be so pessimistic. We will continue to have that conversation and more as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on.
It is a Victory Monday. It's brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza. With delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian, Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But remember he said his birthday?
Yeah.
Maybe we get a little freaky.
Yeah. Like everyone's like, oh, look at our horny little boy. We're so good for him. Like, everybody's so supportive of Giannis, they just kind of look past it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I mean, more than anything, it's a testament to Coach LaFleur and all the other coaches. And, you know, we have a ball meeting and we talk about Weston, a key component to winning ball games. And more than anything, it's the turnover differential. And I think that he does a great job just showing us the importance of the ball and keeping it and being plus on the turnover margin. And I think we just try to focus on that. And that's throughout the team, through the running backs, receivers, and even the O-line, just being prepared to cover.
Morning, as we talk about a Packers victory over the Titans, 30-14 in Tennessee. My goodness, was there a lot of green and gold. My goodness. At times you could hear go Pack go over the television. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Packers fans travel, man. They support their team. Let's go out to the phone line, 800-990-3776. Luke in Madison waiting patiently on the line to get his thoughts in on a Victory Monday. Good morning, Luke.
Good morning. What a great Victory Monday this is. When was the last time we saw a safety that could play center field like this?
Oh, you know the answer to that, Luke. There's only one answer to it.
Nick Collins. Is that the answer?
That's the answer. Actually, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
Oh, wait,
but
hold on.
Even
that
better.
That was a trivia question? I thought it was like a genuinely curious question.
No, that was a rhetorical question. It's absolutely Nick Collins, and he didn't have a catchphrase, though. All I see when I see Xavier go up and pick that ball off like that, I hear DMX. X gonna give it to you. And so love far, it. Every game he has delivered.
We're going to adopt that, by the way.
I don't know what...
Drop ready, Joshy.
Please do. The thing that I want to talk about is both sides of the line here. I know we don't know what we're going to get from Jordan, but I thought the entire offensive line played really well, including Josh Myers, who I've been super critical of, getting out, leading the way, hitting corners, downfield blocking. Sean Ryan as well. Like, they were fantastic on the offensive side of the ball. Can you tell I played line in college? and then the defensive line. I mean, Jeff Hafley seems to have freed up everybody. Devontae Wyatt is now what we thought he was going to be. And whether we get full range of motion, full athleticism, Jordan, or even if he's a little limited and has to stay in the pocket a little bit more, I'm just excited because this defense is different. Like, we haven't had a defense like this since 2010. That's what it feels like.
Appreciate the call, Luke. A lot of optimism there, a lot of excitement there. And he's right about the lines. Like, they do deserve credit as well. You can't run the ball that way. And I know we mentioned it wasn't as significant as the previous week when Josh Jacobs ran all over the field against the Colts, but they had success in part because that offensive line did its job.
Well, and again, that's where you have to balance now for the offensive line. And Brian Bulaga, whether he was on the pregame show on with Homer, Wildy, and Tausch, all the different places he appears now, those offensive linemen love to run block. That's what they want to do. And because that means you get to be aggressive, you get to be hitting instead of kind of backing up, being on your heels. It's just a lot tougher for an offensive lineman. So for them to be able to be blocking downhill the way that they were, yeah, that's what they want to do. That's what they want to try to continue to do, which is why I think that, you know, maybe the Packers were, and I don't know what they were during, you know, their hot streak last year. If they were a 60-40 team, a 55-45 team, I wouldn't be shocked to see, you know, the Packers be very balanced going forward. I just feel that they showed that they can run the football, and with Jordan Love back, it's going to be harder to stack the box.
Does it kind of feel like the good teams right now are more balanced than we've seen in recent history in the NFL? Like, when you look at the good teams and the teams that have kind of had consistent success, it seems like teams who take what the defense gives them and kind of just say, screw it, we're running, even though we feel we're pretty good about our passing offense here or in this situation, like, the good teams just kind of run the ball. Like, and you see a lot, and obviously the stats of if you run the ball a certain amount, you typically win, but that's just because you're ahead.
Because you're ahead, so you're running the football.
But like,
run the clock.
the best offenses right now all have, like, a pretty good running game. Like, you don't think of anyone as totally deficient there.
So just to put a bow on this, who are the good teams? Just like we were talking about earlier, where I was like, it's a weird league, man. Things are flipping on their heads. Who are the good teams? Are the Steelers? The Steelers at 3-0 a good team? Holy moly, I wouldn't have thought that headed into the season. They had a quarterback controversy with Wilson and Fields. And
not anymore.
Now it's Fields. Fields is the guy. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, who are the good teams that we can look at and say the run-pass balance?
I know they lost to the Rams yesterday, but are you saying the 49ers are bad now? Because I think they're going to be fine.
No, but they were very injured yesterday also.
Yeah.
Like, they were missing a bunch of
But guess what they can still do?
Run the ball.
Doesn't matter who's been back there.
Because McCaffrey
they've been able
been
to
out.
Run the ball.
Okay, are the Seahawks good. A good team? 3-0.
Yeah, and they can run the ball.
Yeah, they've got their backup in.
Yeah,
Charbonnet's been
around. Charbonnet, and he's had a good couple of weeks. If you think Minnesota is good, Aaron Jones has been able to run the football. You know,
the Lions run the ball.
Oh, yeah.
They don't care about it. They run it all the time.
Doesn't matter who they have back there. They've got two talented backs. Yeah, I think the teams that you are probably expecting to be there at the end of the season are running the football. The Jets. I mean, the Jets last week, they ran the football with Braylon Allen and
Breece Hall.
Like, the really good teams, the teams that you are probably expecting to still be there at the end of the season, outside of probably, even when Pacheco's healthy, they run the ball more. They weren't as effective last night with I mean,
they got a fullback back there.
Yeah,
he's non-drafted, made the team out of camp type of thing.
Because Samaje Perine
is thank you very much, with the long blonde hair.
Owns an alligator.
Pardon?
What was that?
Yeah, owns an alligator.
I missed that on the broadcast last night.
Me too. How did you know that?
Believe me, I'm deep in the weeds on
that. But how does that affect his fantasy production?
I was about to say, I know you do a lot of fantasy stuff, but I can't imagine alligator is, if owns an alligator is mixing in with the fantasy prep.
I think it was talked about when he had like a big preseason. The question I have is, when you go on the road, who watches your alligator?
It's a great question. It's a great question.
Not like a cat.
Well, that's the thing. The list of people who are willing to watch your pet shrinks significantly when they find out it's a gator.
Hey, just want to stop in, check in my dog, take him around the block. Hey, want to check in my alligator? Nah, I'm good.
Just drop him a couple fish in the tank, he'll be fine.
Hey, you can't just take him to PetSmart for boarding. No. You can't just like... That is an excellent question. Does he have a pool? Does he have like a body of water that the alligator is enjoying? Is it hanging out in a room? I have many questions about the alligator possession now. Thank you for enlightening me on that. Unfortunately, we have to get to break because we have Rob Domofsky coming up next. And Rob Domofsky is always great about putting everything we saw on Sunday into perspective. We'll do that right after this. But first, football season is back and I am excited to get back on campus with Celsius Energy Drink, which fuels my active lifestyle with their game day energy. You can drink Celsius like me and college stars Travis Hunter. Travis and I are fighting right now. I don't know if we mentioned earlier the situation I found myself in this weekend. Travis and I are fighting, but Jalen Milrow, Dylan Gabriel, and others stay active and energized all game day long with Celsius by your side. Celsius, live fit.
We need a new intro for this year, though.
All right, we'll work on it.
Consider it done, Rob.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
Look, I would suspect that we don't see Malik Willis throw the ball down the field a whole lot, especially early, but it would not surprise me if we got back to more of the quick West Coast stuff.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
I was overly harsh about Gabe's golf game because I played terrible yesterday.
It's Rob Domofsky.
This better be a great segment.
On Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Always great to check in with Rob Domofsky, who I believe this morning is joining us from the airport. Is that correct, Rob? Are you en route?
Gate B3 in Detroit. I just landed in Detroit and made it to my connecting gate, and I've got a little time. I love the intro, by the way. Well done.
Success by you on the travels. Success by the Packers this weekend. We were pleasantly surprised when they were able to pull out the victory the first week of the Malik Willis experiment. Obviously, weren't sure how it was going to go this week. Knew that the Titans did not want them to be able to run the ball. They said as much headed in. What was your reaction to the Packers walking out of there with their second straight victory with Willis under center?
I think a couple things, Jen. One, it sort of validated what Brian Gutekunst did with the backup quarterback position, right, which we had talked about a lot, and there was a lot of angst over how could you go through training camp and then end up with a completely different backup who had never been here. If you would have said to any coach or GM, you can give me a seventh-round pick for two victories, you'd take that in a heartbeat. That's essentially what happened. And then you got to say that, you know, we talked about it a little bit last week, but Matt LaFleur, Adam Senevich, the offensive coaches, did a heck of a job with this guy and did a heck of a job with the game plan and figuring out, you know, how to make it work. And I thought if they won one game, however many games Malik Willis had to play, if they played one or if they won one, I thought that would be a positive. And, you know, they're 2-0, and it's likely that Love will be back next week.
As well as they've been able to run the ball these 2 weeks, Rob, do you think that is something that's going to carry over for the rest of the season and maybe there's some really good balance to this team now that they know they can be this efficient running the football?
LaFleur he basically said as much yesterday. He was asked about that very thing. Is there anything that, you know, that sort of translates when Jordan comes back? And he said, I think you're always learning. If you're not, you're dying. There's a lot to learn from these experiences. I do think having the ability to be balanced puts a little bit more stress on the defense. So, I mean, if you don't take some of what they did here and incorporate it, then you're probably cheating yourself. So I think there were some things they learned about how to play that takes some stress off of Jordan. And, you know, look, they have running backs that can handle it right now. They have running backs that are healthy. I thought Emmanuel Wilson playing 26 snaps yesterday. Last year he didn't play more than 8 snaps in any game last year as a rookie. Played 26 yesterday and obviously was effective in both the screen game and the run game. So they have ways, they have guys that they can get the ball to on the ground.
Rob Domofsky joining us from the Detroit airport as he breaks down the Packers' victory yesterday over the Titans. The defense had 8 sacks, 2 interceptions, 1 pick six. I had no idea that Jaire Alexander had never taken one back to the house in his college or NFL career. So
yeah, high school. High school, he said, was the last one.
Crazy.
I was surprised with that.
What do you think is the biggest difference with this defense this year? Is it as simple as Jeff Hafley letting them play, be more instinctive? What do you see as the biggest reason this defense has had success early this year?
I mean, Jen, if I had to just, if you said he had to have one reason, I would say Xavier McKinney. And I know his pick yesterday was kind of in garbage time, but it's still 3 picks in 3 games. And he has set the tone for this defense, and it's so different than the safety position last year. Like, it's not just the addition of Xavier McKinney; it's what you got by getting rid of what you had before. And to me, that's like the biggest single upgrade and the biggest reason that they're making a difference. I think is that the safety position totally revamped. McKinney's a leader; guys respect him. Jaire respects him. Like, that's, I mean. You know, Jaire is a guy who, when he's in a good headspace, is as good as anybody in the league at that position. And he loves Xavier McKinney. He loves having a veteran guy back there. It's not unlike, you know, on the rare occasions when they would bring in an offensive veteran and Rodgers would just rave about it because they had so few of them. I think that's a little bit like how the defensive guys feel about having Xavier McKinney in there. And look, when you sign a guy to that kind of money, $67 million deal, and he comes in and makes big impact plays right away, his credibility, if it wasn't high already, it just goes through the roof.
Is he the leader of that defense? Is he the one they all turn to?
I got to believe so, Gabe, at this point. Like, I mean, he's earned it in a very short amount of time. He has earned it. He's on the field all the time. You know, he's... Kenny Clark is obviously, a leader, has been around a long, long time and is very good at it. But, you know, Kenny doesn't play every snap. Xavier McKinney is in that huddle every single snap, and those guys look at him every single play. And I think that counts for something, Gabe.
Todd weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line saying there are 6 great active coaches in the NFL. Reed, Tomlin, Harbaugh, McVay, Shanahan, and LaFleur. LaFleur is smart.
Which Harbaugh?
The John Harbaugh.
Okay.
Yeah. He actually wrote John in there. I just skipped over it thinking that it didn't need to be said, but apparently it did. Is this performance by Matt LaFleur, getting Malik Willis to not lose the game, to keep him within his guardrails, is this enough to earn Matt LaFleur Coach of the Year consideration? Yeah. He's never won it before. Never won it before with Rodgers, never won it before with Jordan. Or is it too early in the season to carry weight throughout the 18 weeks?
One of the things, Jen, that I was thinking of in my quick reaction story that we have to write right as the game ends, I was literally, part of it was a little bit, tongue-in-cheek, but one of the things I was thinking about writing, and I ended up going a different direction, was something to the effect of just give LaFleur Coach of the Year award right now, because who's done what he's done? And he, he reminded us of that with one of his comments about, you guys have no idea, what we did or how this, how difficult this was for Malik Willis, and on and on and on. I don't think he was, stumping for himself for Coach of the Year. But look, he never won it. And I don't even know that he's gotten more than a handful of votes a couple of times. McCarthy never won it. Holmgren never won it. Are you telling me those guys weren't, top 5 coaches in the league in their times? I think you'd have to say they were. I would hope that if people care about those kinds of things, and I'm not necessarily huge on those awards, but if you're a person that cares about those things, I would think this went a long way toward establishing Matt LaFleur as a prime candidate for that, and I think deservedly so.
8 sacks yesterday defensively, only a couple in the first couple weeks, but everybody had said, "Hey, those are athletic quarterbacks. Let us get up, wait to see what we can do when there's somebody who's not like that back there." So, which is closer to the pass rush we'll see for the final 14 games? What we saw the first 2 weeks or what we saw yesterday?
Yeah, I think, Dave, it's like we talked about on the pregame show yesterday. It sort of depends on who they're playing. Like, Will Levis is not mobile, and I believe we talked about that yesterday. If it depends on who you're playing at quarterback. If you've got, if you've got mobile guys, probably not. I mean, I think this week with Sam Darnold, he's maybe a little bit more mobile than Will Levis, but he's not Anthony Richardson or Jalen Hurts. So
with the knee injury, right? We're keeping our eye on that.
Yep. Yeah, he came out and then went back in the game from what I saw. But I think depending on the week, not saying they're going to get 8 sacks, but the thing that I thought, Gabe, that was so good about that was it wasn't like Rashawn Gary had 4 sacks or someone had just a monster game. They had 6 different guys in on the sacks, obviously 2 sacks each for Preston Smith and Devontae Wyatt. But then it was, it was a lot to go around. And then Rashawn Gary had one that was wiped away by a penalty. So he should have been on the board for another one. So I think that's the best part of this pass rush. And the other thing, too, is he didn't blitz very much. I think it was less than, 20% of the dropbacks Halfley blitzed on. I don't have that official number, but it's what I was sort of counting up yesterday. But I do think that that's a really good sign when you can get pressure that way.
Rob, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Obviously, a very, very happy, a very joyful, if you will. I'm just pulling that word out of nowhere, just random. Joyful day here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as we celebrate a Packers victory.
Yeah.
Have a great one, sir.
Real quick, Jen, I was a lot of the players' girlfriends and wives were on my flight from Nashville to Detroit, and they were very loud. They were in a very good mood. So good for them. They enjoyed their early morning flight.
I love it, Rob. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Have a safe trip home.
All right, guys. We'll be seeing you.
If you love sports betting, you got to make your way to the sportsbook at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. It has everything a sports fanatic could want and more. And don't forget, on Wednesdays, we do the weekly wager. It's Greg and Ben and Jen, and we talk about the best bets of the week. If you haven't caught it yet, it is from 6 to 7 on Wednesday evenings. And we do it from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook broadcast booth. It's a new era of sports betting at Pottawatomie. Have you gotten in on the action? It is time to get in on the action.
A standout performance.
Love to the end zone. Watson spins his way for the touchdown.
A player who energized the team.
He goes to the air. It's intercepted. Jair Alexander high stepping for 6.
It's time for the current electric superhero MVP of the game on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He's putting it in the air this time. And it's and a touchdown!
Whether it's as small as a switch repair or as big as a whole home rewiring or even a generator to keep your lights on, call the superheroes from Current Electric. Go to callcurrent.com.
Second down and goal from the 5. Willis keeps on the zone read, bouncing towards the goal line. Touchdown! Malik Willis into the end zone in Tennessee to pace the Packers to the early lead.
And Malik Willis is absolutely deserving of that. The numbers for his 2 appearances, the last 2 starts that he has made for the Green Bay Packers in absence of Jordan Love, guys, 25 of 33, 324 yards, 2 touchdowns, no turnovers, which I still think is not getting enough credit. I know we've mentioned it a few times here on the show, but my goodness, to come in there and not turn the ball over, to protect the football, give his guys a chance with a 126.3 passer rating, you cannot say enough about what that young man did. And now that he has done it, please take a seat. Yeah. Please sit down. Please let Jordan Love resume controls of this airplane, of this cockpit, and we will all be good to go.
Hey, great rushing totals. I just hope they go down the rest of the year because the only time you come in is take a knee at the end of the game.
The interesting thing about Malik is I don't, and maybe I missed it, but was there even really like a turnover worthy play from him?
No, he never put the ball in harm's way.
Right.
And I don't even think, Like there was a that was close like on a fumble.
Yeah.
Like cuz there wasn't even a throw that was close to being a turnover worthy play, and the number of times he was sacked and ran the ball the last couple of weeks, I don't think it was like, "Oh, that looked like he was carrying it kind of loose."
Right.
It was, and that's the Jen you mentioned, it's the biggest thing. For a backup quarterback, don't turn the ball over, and he didn't even get close to turning it over.
Yeah, it's huge. Obviously, you feel comfortable having him out there now if something were to happen with Jordan Love down the stretch. We had talked about how the luxury of week one was the Colts had no tape of Malik Willis. And if it was old tape and it was not good, right? And then the concern was, well, now you've put some stuff on film. Now they know what to defend. They know how to defend. They know, and they tweaked the offense just enough to not put him out of his comfort zone, but also to keep the defense on its heels. It wasn't the same exact blueprint. It wasn't, well, that worked against the Colts. We have to run that same thing. And that is a huge sign. It builds confidence in the backup quarterback. Again, the hope is that you do not have to use him again. I believe Jordan Love will be back out there. Nothing official from the team or from Jordan's camp, but I believe we will see him versus the Vikings, and that will be a very interesting matchup.
Yeah, I got to imagine him going through the workout the way he did on the field yesterday. Him practicing last week, it was 2 weeks ago today, 2 weeks ago, that our guy Adam Schefter went onto the Pat McAfee show and said, yeah, I think that Vikings game could be a game that they target. Going through practice last week, going through a workout tells me he's close. He's actually close now, and I would bet that he plays against the Vikings.
And it is a division game, right? And as much as you want to say, and I believe Malik Willis said it yesterday at the podium, every game is the same, because he was talking about how he was downplaying the fact that he was playing his former team. The division games matter more. They just do.
100%.
In the grand scheme of things, at the end of the day, you want to win your division. You got to start this week against the Vikings. Could they sweep the division? Who can say? My bold prediction says that they will. It's a bold prediction for a reason, but that would have to start, obviously, this weekend.
Yeah, in baseball and football, it still matters if you win your division, because you get a home game. If you win your division, that's the way the NFL wants it. So the divisional games always mean more. They just do. They have to mean a little bit more, which is why I think in the Packers' mind and Jordan Love's mind, targeting the Vikings game was always something they wanted to do if they could do it, because of how much, even though it's still early in the season, those games still count in the standings.
Very quickly, it is Monday morning. We have been celebrating a victory Monday all morning long here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but want to give props to the Milwaukee Brewers as we wrap up the show here. I was not thrilled with how they came out of locking up the division, right? A little bit of a hangover, a little bit of a not great performances back to back to back. But yesterday, guys, they made history. At 8 runs, their comeback was tied for second largest comeback win in Brewers Pilots franchise history, only behind a game from 2004. So 20 years. In 20 years. So yesterday they were down 8 and ended up winning that game. Gabe, how do you feel about the Brewers over this next few stretch? It is feeling to me as though those buys become tougher and tougher.
Oh, the buy's not happening. They're out. They're done. They're going to be at home next Tuesday. Hopefully it's just Tuesday, Wednesday, win a couple of games to get into the divisional series. But I just don't think that they're not catching the Dodgers. They're not catching the Phillies. Unfortunately, that little losing streak that they went on. I mean, they're back 3 games of the Phillies. They're back 4 games of the Dodgers. And not only because both those teams have the tiebreaker, it's catching and passing. There's only 6 games left. If the Phillies go, the Phillies would have to go for the Brewers to get a bye. 2-4, Brewers had to go win all 6.
As it stands right now, I believe they would play the Mets if the season ended today. How do you feel about that matchup for the Brew Crew?
For the big part of that is Francisco Lindor. So Lindor has been dealing with a back issue. He's been out the last week or so. If he's not in the lineup, the Mets are they're not as dangerous of a team. Lindor was being talked about as if Shohei Ohtani didn't exist, he would be the National League MVP.
Wow.
I mean, Ohtani is the runaway winner, so nobody else talks about who's really alive for that in the National League. Lindor's probably second on that list.
I have a question.
Yes.
As it regards to yesterday's game, would you have been in attendance for the comeback win? In the bottom of the 7th, it was 8-6. They jumped out to a big lead. The Brewers kind of chipped away. Are you in attendance for those final innings in a game like that?
Yeah.
Gabe doesn't leave.
I'm long gone. I never see that comeback.
Well, but okay, so when did you leave? When would you have left?
I think I was sticking around, and then as soon as they made it 9-6 on the top of 8, I'm probably like, all right, I'm out of here.
Oh, 3-6? That's still, you're bringing your closer in. You're still bringing your closer in if you're the Diamondbacks. It's still a save situation, Joshy.
God, I love this conversation. I wish it wasn't 8:57. I want to dive into this. When do
you leave?
Have
some faith.
You know what? The good news is the Brewers are off today. We can have this conversation tomorrow. We'll get the big guy back. We can talk about when you would have left.
He's not going to help. He'd leave no matter what.
He would have left when it was 1-0 in the bottom of the second. Hey, that's it for me. Got to beat the traffic.
Enjoy this Victory Monday, everybody. Wildy and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one.